Our scripture reading today is from the, not the gospel. I almost said the gospel. I'm so used to preaching from the gospel text. I jump right in there. But we're going to share a reading today from the epistle to the Romans. So from Romans chapter 5, this is Paul's letter to the church in Rome. Listen with me for the word of the Lord. Paul said, "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves His love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I don't know about you all, but I need a little hope today. As I reflected on our text and the events of this week, the recent weeks, the recent months, we as a nation, as a church, as a people, need a little hope, wouldn't you say? As we consider the effects of the coronavirus that has kept us separated physically from loved ones and friends in our worship community. And then the economic impact that even comes beyond the sickness and separation. And then most recently the tensions and dissension, the unrest in our nation regarding recent events of racial tension. We need some hope. And we need some healing. I don't know about y'all, because if I'm not careful, I can focus so much upon all of this negativity, all of this pain, sadness, and brokenness, that I can get in the moody blues, stressed, angry, and ultimately depressed and hopeless. It's into these challenging times. I think it's important for us as the church, as people of faith, to pause and remember and search for the hope that's found in whatever circumstance we face through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. To not ignore the challenges we face, to not overlook our own sinfulness as individuals, people collectively, but to honestly analyze what God has done for us in ages past and promises for us in times to come. You know, when I think of that tendency to focus on all of the negative and lose hope, I'm reminded of one of my favorite stories of a wise teacher that once helped one of his students grow in a spirit of embracing more hope and joy in his life. The young one, who was eager to learn and grow intellectually, always seemed to focus on all of the plight, all of the negativity, everything that was wrong with the world beyond him and the world within him. He had a teacher that he really trusted. And he went, and his teacher, after one of their visits, after they visited together, he said, "I want to tell you something that I think will help you embrace the world with a little more clarity and perhaps even more sense of joy. To that, the student said, how can I be joyful when there's so much destruction, so much pain, so much dying, devastation, unrest in our land? Tell me, teacher, how can I not be angry, and how can I find joy in such joylessness? To that, the teacher produced a glass of water, and he pulled out a salt shaker, and he poured just about half of the salt shaker into the glass. He produced it and gave it to his student, and he said, now take, drink. The student took a sip and spit it out immediately. He said, it tastes terrible. It's bitter. It's salty. I can't stand it anymore. To that, they went for a little walk, and the teacher took the student to a small pool, a large pool rather, about the size of a living room that had spring water running into it. To that pool of water, the teacher also took out the remaining salt, the other half of the container, and cast it into the pool. He then knelt down, dipped out another cup of water, and asked the student to drink again. And he asked, how does it taste? The student said, refreshing, cool, it's good. To that, the student and the teacher reflected on their experience. The teacher said to the student, you know, this world is filled with bad things. No more, no less. They all are like the same amount of salt that I put into the glass and that I put into the pool. The question for us is, if we can't change the amount of salt and bad that we face in life, then we must expand the container that houses the challenges and conflicts of life. The teacher said to the student, stop being a glass and begin being a pool of life and refreshment. His encouragement to the student was to not focus only on the salt, the challenges, the adversity of life, but see that as an opportunity to expand our sense of joy even in the midst of despair. Now, all of that is good news for us, yes. And it's encouraging. And it's news that we can embrace and say today, yes, we should embrace our sense of joy. And we need to search for hope, even in hopelessness and trying circumstances that we face now. But it also presents a question. How do we do it, Jody? How do we embrace more joy and find more hope when there's so much despair around us? You know, I think our scripture reminds us today, as Paul reminded the church in Rome, of how to grow in our hope. Paul began that scripture by saying to us that we have hope in the glory of God. You see what Paul is saying to us? He's reminding us something that we should never forget as people in Christ, that we have hope in our Savior, dear church. We have a heavenly home, which Paul speaks of as God's glory in our text today, where we will reign and live with God as beloved children forever. May we not lose sight of where we are going, of the prize and glory and joy that is without end for us as God's children. Friends, may we not lose hope of where we are going, a place where there's no more sickness, sorrow, separation, no more dissension, hate, only life, love, and joy forever. Friends, that is the home that Almighty God has prepared for us. You know, I think of a story that a pastor once shared, and he was speaking to one of his parishioners about that home, that glory that Paul speaks of today that God has prepared for us. This particular church member had great fear of death and the unknown. And as they were visiting, the pastor heard a scratching to begin on the door. The pastor had gone to the church member's home. And he apologized to the church member. He said, "You know, I'm sorry. My dog walked with me over here today, and that's him trying to scratch to get into your house." But as he reflected upon the actions of his faithful canine, he said, "You know what, though? He's giving us a wonderful example of how we should respond to the glory of heaven that God has prepared for us." He said, "You know, my dog has never been inside your house. He doesn't know what it will be like once he goes through that door. He only knows one thing. His master is inside, and that is where he wants to be." Friends, even as we face tribulation, the concerns of this world, and even the unknown of what is to come after our frail bodies leave, may we, like that faithful pet, know, even though heaven is a place where we've never been, we know our loved ones are there, and ultimately our master. And I want to be where those who love me and the one who made me will nurture me with their affection forever. So will we embrace hope this day? In the words of our Lord, in what is to come, even as we face the trials and tribulations of the current circumstances. But our scripture also says this to us. Paul tells us, even as we remember what is to come, may we have some reassurance of what we're gaining through our current trials. Paul says this: hold on and have hope, because persecution, trials, and tribulation, Paul says, increases our endurance. You know what that says to me? It reminds me that as I face challenges in life, family, work, the more I go through tough times and tough circumstances, I find those words of Paul to be even true, that we too grow in our endurance. The more we trust God as our strength, the one who gives us stamina for the journey, the marathon of life, the more we can endure. You know, many of us, I see Jared on there this morning, Jared Roberts, a big weightlifter. The more we lift those weights, the first time we began an exercise routine, even if it's striving to walk 1 mile, we wonder if we're going to make it all the way through. But the more we exercise those muscles, the more we perform the task of gaining our strength, the more we find our endurance physically growing. You see, Paul is using that word today to say to us, when we trust in God, hear me, church, when we trust in God to be our strength in the adversities of life, we too can endure in a way that we never could have on our own. Friends, will you receive those words? As you think of the challenges we face now, may you trust in God to strengthen us so we can endure whatever we face and search for joy and have hope in our God. Paul also says that endurance produces character. And friends, we are in strong need of character in our world. If you want to respond to the challenges that we're facing as a nation, as being part of the solution, as part of the hope, as part of the light and love of Christ, then as we trust in Him as our strength, not only are we endured to be sustained through challenges, but hear this, as Paul said, our character grows as well. And you know what the character we take on is? The character of Jesus Christ our Lord. That is when we become part of the solution in our world. That is when we share the joy that's found in our Savior. That is when we give hope to those around us and increase our own sense of joy as we take on more daily the character of Christ our Lord. You know, I titled this sermon today, Hope Floats. I really am grateful for that movie title that I came across several years ago, some of you may have seen, and how encompassing that title is to describe hope. You see, hope is the thing that doesn't rescue us from the water. If we're out on the lake and we have a float, it helps us to float. We're still in the water, but it keeps us upright. It sustains us until we are back on dry land, back on safety. It keeps us from sinking, from the waters engulfing us and overtaking us. Friends, may we hear these words about hope today, that God will float us, will sustain us, in a reminder of what is to come, that God will ultimately conquer every trial, tribulation, separation, and sin that's upon this world. Now, we've spoken about what's to come. I want to end you today. As we search for hope found in our Lord, as we go through trials currently, as I shared with you, as you're driving down the road, one of the most important aspects of driving is you have to look out what? The windshield. You have to know what's to come. That windshield is big and huge so you can see where you're going. As we search for hope, we know where we're going. We see the vision of that heavenly home. We look out in front of us like driving down the road. But any of us who've driven also know there's something else very prominently positioned on that windshield that helps us get where we're going. It's that rear view mirror, right? That rear view mirror that reminds us not only where we're going is important for our destination, but to remember and to see where we've come from. You see, I think that's what Paul is saying in our text today too. Not only does he tell us there's hope in what's to come, but he ends our passage today. I hope you hear it today with fresh ears by remembering himself and reminding us what is in our rear view, where we've come from. Paul says this. Paul says, we, dear friends, we who are sinful and separated from our God, from our own shortcomings, have been justified, made children of God simply by putting our faith, our trust in Jesus. And Paul said this, remember that at the right time, when you were at your worst, Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross to separate you from your sin forever. Consider the magnitude of those words. As Paul would say, maybe every once in a while, someone would risk their life, perhaps even give their life for a good person. But Jesus Christ, dear church, your Savior and God's Son, came to you and to me, not when we were at our best, but when we were at our very worst, and said, I want to deliver you from your brokenness and restore you to the joy of my salvation. Friends, in our current tribulation. May we never stop looking forward to God's glory that we will be part of in Jesus Christ. And may we not also look back to what God has already done, separating us from our sin, gifting us with forgiveness so that we can be part of God's heavenly realm and part of His family here on earth as we seek to live out our hope and increase the joy around us by being part of the solution in despair as we offer light even in darkness as people of Christ our Lord. Would you pray with me? God, we give you thanks this day for the gift of salvation that you offer to us simply by trusting in you. We remember where you've taken us even in our despair, so we trust you, O God, and we remember where we are going with you, that this world of brokenness is not our home, that you've prepared for us an eternal blessing that will be without end, where there's life, love, and joy forever. But until then, God, may we have hope in our current challenges, as we face adversities physically, spiritually, relationally, economically, in our country, in our churches, in our land, may we have hope to know that in you we can endure, we can grow in our character, and we can be part of the solution of your light and love. We pray for your church. We pray for all congregations that share and proclaim your gospel ministry. Will you inspire and empower your church in action and ministry and reflecting your love and glorifying your name? We pray for our nation, God, the brokenness, division. Will you bring restoration that's found only in you? Will you guard the hearts of our leaders locally and even in the government, our state, county, and city governing bodies, to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you? We pray for our president, for our Senate, the Congress, the Supreme Court, all who hold office and authority over others. Will you guide them, O God, in your ways? We pray, O Lord, for the strong and the rich, the powerful, those who have influence over others, the leaders among us. We pray for the sick and the hurting and the hopeless, the weak, the widowed, the dying, the grieving. We lift up friends and family, especially those we've mentioned this day. And God, right now in this moment, as we all worship together, we join our hearts as one. We lift up our prayers for each of these individuals. We pray right now, not only with one another, but for one another. We each have special needs and wants in our lives. Will you bring healing and wholeness to our family, our personal concerns? Bring restoration, O God. Bring healing to our land. Help us, O God, to be part of your healing through your church, through your love, and for your glory. And now, God, as your children, we will join our voices as one, as the unified church, unified in your love, and say the words in prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God who is our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you each and every one, now and forever. Amen.